Good morning. We're doing Pirkei Avot. We're up to the fourth chapter, the 14th Mishnah. Rabbi Yanai Yomer. Rabbi Yanai says, Ein biyadeinu. We don't have in our hands. Lo mishalvat ha-reshaim. We don't have the tranquility of the wicked. Ve'af lo miyisurei ha-tzadikim. We also don't have the suffering of the righteous. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah. En biyadeinu lo mishalvat ha-reshaim. We don't have the tranquility of the wicked. She'en la-tzadikim ashket ve-betach. Because tzadikim never find confidence and quiet. Ve'osher ve'kol tzorkei ha'olam kamo ha-reshaim. They never find wealth and all of their needs taken care of like the wicked. Rabbi Yanai says, we never get to that level of tranquility that the wicked get to. The idea here is financial tranquility. Ve'af lo miyisurei ha-tzadikim. We also don't have from the suffering of the righteous. Yisurin shel ahava asher la-tzadikim. The tzadikim get suffering just because Hashem loves them. Hashem says, here, I'll give you an opportunity to grow. We don't have that. Shem al derech shelo yitbatlu melimud Torah. That's suffering which does not diminish one's Torah learning. So then that's called Yisurin Shel Ahava. If a person has certain difficulties, challenges, pains, but they don't interfere with their learning Torah, so the Gemara says that can be Yisurin Shel Ahava, where Hashem gives a person a challenge or a hurdle, and it's just to help him grow. It's what we call Yisurim. Yisurim can be translated as pain or suffering, can also be translated as rebuke, shel ahava, that stems from love.
What's an example, but not apparent to them? I'm saying like Yisurim are usually things that would theoretically, even indirectly,
financial, one of them, that can get a worker.
Well, I mean, you know, again, what do you call by how much? I mean, is it total, or is it just I'm giving up this opportunity that would
There are two opinions in the Gemara. Maybe not having children or having children that passed away could be that could be something which doesn't affect a person's learning. Powerful, yeah. Not what we would have thought. So that's an example the Gemara gives, that Rabbi Yochanan buried all 10 children. The great Rabbi Yochanan lost that. There were giants of Jewish history who underwent this tremendous pain and continued growing. Yeah. So that's an example the Gemara gives.
But he's saying here, you don't have that.
Right. We don't have it to the degree that the tzaddikim have it.
And the tranquility of the wicked, that's the worst punishment in the world. When you're wicked and you're satisfied, then you won't change.
Yeah.
I think you say it's like a bad level where like, not sure about, like, a lot of people do chuva, at some point, he says, okay, well, let's say you lost it.
Okay. So that's the first interpretation Rabbeinu Yonah gives. The first interpretation is, we don't have either extremity. You think it's bad, it's not as bad as the tzaddikim get it. You think it's good, it's not as good as the wicked get it. We're somewhere in the middle. What? Yeah. I don't think so.
Growing.
I don't know, because the Gemara gives us examples of tzaddikim who said, "Lo hen velo scharan." I don't want the pain. I don't want its wages. Leave me alone. The Gemara gives examples of Bing Amoraim who said not interested.
Are they crying out because of the pain, or do they really talking from the depths of their soul that they need? It's like someone, you know, don't give me the state of Israel if you don't give me the Holocaust. I don't want it. It's true. None of each on a certain level. But on another level, you know, we say that the end of history or the merit of Olam Haba or Yamsu, they didn't question anymore why the pain.
I don't know. I'm saying from that Gemara, I see an indication like you're saying, and I see an opposite indication, because it says when Rabbi Yochanan visited Rabbi Elazar, who was suffering, his student Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, he asked him, Chavivin alecha yisurin, you're enjoying the suffering? So it sounds like the question was a real question, because his answer was, Lohen velo scharan, I don't want the suffering, I don't want its benefits, leave me alone. Saying, but you're talking about Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. So then the question here is, how do I look at that Gemara? Do I say Rabbi Yochanan's question indicates, like you said, that Rabbi Yochanan had asked him, are you on the level where you can take the pain and say it's good this way? And then Rabbi Elazar's answer is, no, I'm not on that level. Help me out of here. And he did. Says they prayed and he got better. But I'm just saying, I can see from that Gemara an indication either way. I can understand that Gemara to mean that Rabbi Yochanan was asking him, are you on that level where the pain isn't destructive?
You know, everything. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Don't choose me." You know, that may be a different thing. Rabbi Akiva, we hold that up as something unbelievably unusual that he was getting the last talk. It's natural, but the question is after the fact. Would he say, "I didn't want this"? I don't know. I mean, after the fact, would he say, you know, when he sees the big picture at the end of the life, I'm supposed to believe that everything is, you know, for a toll, would you then say that my reaction of not wanting, you know, someone like a John McCain who was, would want to go through it again, a PLW in Vietnam, but would he not want to be the person that he became or grew as a result of that? I don't know. I
don't know.
Anyway,
I
see this both ways. Okay.
I'm saying I don't know how to understand that Gemara. I don't know. Yes.
That Gemara, it seemed like that Yisurin was a lot less harsh than when Rabbi Yochanan had to bury his kids. Right? He was just sick in bed, right?
I don't know how sick in bed can be very painful.
10 kids?
I hear. I don't know.
But you say in our life, though, anytime, I would rather not grow to whatever level that involved burying a kid. However, we're supposed to believe that if Hashem takes a kid from us, and we do grow, at some point we will see the toll in that, given whatever. I'm just using free will for the whole world, we don't know. But if you have faith, I think something that's beyond our control, it happens, even though we say, I'd rather be a much lower level person and not bury my kid. I can tell you that now. That's how I'm thinking. But after the fact, I have to think, if this is what was decreed, you know, it has to be on some level, otherwise
yeah, I'm with you. V'yesh mefarshim. So the first interpretation was about our experience. Ein bi'adeinu, we don't experience either extremity. Others give another explanation to this Mishnah. Ein bi'adeinu lo mishalvat arshaim, ke'af al pisha min adinu rasha v'tov lo tzadik v'ra lo. Mikol makom, anu mesigin letam hadavar, ein anu mesigin letam hadavar. We try to understand, why is it that the wicked have good lives? Why is it that the righteous have bad lives? So we have answers, and yet, at the end of the day, ein biyadeinu, we don't have a handle on the answer. That the Mishnah is saying that the answers we have are not considered on the level that you can say I have a handle on it. In biyadeinu. Ve'im in advarim amitiyim shen yediyatenu maseget leta'ana zo. And this is one of those things where we don't really wrap our head around the explanation of why it is this way. Ve'zeo she'amar Yirmiyahu alav ha'shalom, and that's what the prophet Jeremiah said peace be upon him. Tzadikat Hashem, ki ariv elecha, ach mishpatim adaber otecha, madu aderech reshaim tzalecha, shalvu kol bogedei baged. Hashem, you're righteous, and yet I turn my arguments to you because I don't know why the wicked succeed. Why is it that those who are traitors have tranquility? And about this concept, the Mishnah says, "Ein biyadeinu." We don't have a handle. Lo mishalvat arshaim. We don't have a handle on why wicked people have tranquility. We can understand there is a reason behind it, but we don't get it. We don't get it. So that's a very important interpretation in this Mishnah. That we have answers, but after all the answers, we say it's still not 100% sitting right. I don't have a good answer. I have some answer. I don't have a good answer. I'm with you. Could be. It's still hard to see the guy who cheated a person in business and drove his business underground, seeing him succeed and driving his Cadillac, I'm saying. Maybe.
That's what you just said. You said you can't wrap yourself around it, but we can take it on a personal level and say, you know, first of all, you have to define tranquil. If you're so removed from who your soul is, who you really are, you're tranquil. What's tranquil? Can mean just be, you know, drugged up and, you know, in some sort of bliss? I mean, you're driving the Cadillac because you drove your people on the ground. You really are so off base that you believe that there's a finite amount of stuff in this world, and whoever has the most of it is the winner. You're tranquil on a body level, but you may as well have been born a spaniel. I mean, it's not what we want at all. We'd rather be, I think, if you think rationally, we'd rather be tormented and try to do the right thing than to be, you know, satisfied heroin addict or satisfied, you know, person who, you know, a megalomaniac. I mean, it's not really tranquil. It's tranquil in the sense that you're not bothered by it. Also, we know that in one lifetime with one person, there's no measure for measure that's obvious. We can't get a handle on it. Right? It's supposed to be. I mean, how can it be? I mean, you're right. All these answers, he's right. It's not satisfying. They get paid off in this world for the few good things they did. Yeah, maybe, okay, nice, but it's still... it leaves us, we're not sure, but who wants to trade places? If I could be the biggest Gondola door and worked at it and got it, but it would cost me my eyesight, my legs, and a job, forget it. I don't want it.
I think it's a virtue of retrospective versus, like, a lot of times people, they go through, like, suffering, and then they'll look back and say, wow, I'm happy I left without suffering.
I wouldn't want to be the person I was without it. I don't know if I'm happy I went through.
No, I think so. I've heard people say that.
That's how much look at itself.
Whatever. I know, like, there are people that tell me that one of someone is issue, like, he thinks the Shabbat stole the flock of sheep. He went through, like, serious kind of troubles, and he said he got in front of the show. He says, you guys know me, I tell you everything. He says, like, everything I've gone through, like, it's all from Shabbat. I'm so happy I went through it. Kind of thing. And so retrospective, you can say that when you're within the matter, it's completed. So
I don't know.
Losing $2 or borrowing 10 kids is a little different. You know, when you look back, if that happened, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.